I don't know how it is with the radio in your car, but in our little van, the three-year-old runs the radio. Her current favorite, which she finds absolutely hilarious, is Skip to My Lou. You know, pigs in the parlor, what'll I'll do, cows in the kitchen, moo, cow, moo, and her favorite, sheep in the bathtub, hullabaloo, Skip to My Lou, my darling. Now, I admit, it was mildly amusing maybe the first 732 times it went through the continuous loop player, but she still finds hilarious this song about things where they should not be. We have a gospel text for today where it should not be. Today, the post-Thanksgiving sales are over and the economists have assessed their impact on the monetary situation in our country. The light displays are up in the neighborhoods. Christmas trees shine through living room windows. Even in the sanctuaries of our churches, we've gone from the green of the season after Pentecost through the countdown to the end of the year and on now to the blue of Advent. That silly little song, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas would have fit weeks ago already. And smack in the middle of all the warm fuzzies of this time of year comes marching a donkey, covered in cloaks, carrying a humble man, greeted with palms, fated with psalms, a donkey barging into our preparations for Christmas. Now, why this text at this time? Well, the easy answer, it's the experimental lectionary for the new hymnal. Although it was an option in the three-year lectionary for Lutheran worship, I suspect it was an option not taken very often, at least I myself never did, because it's so out of place. A Palm Sunday before Christmas, a coronation before the king is even born. It's also topsy-turvy, jarring in its dislocatedness. But perhaps we need a bit of jarring these days. We who have become so familiar, so comfortable with the Christmas story. All the way from Genesis 3 through Luke 2 and even on to Revelation 22, we're so familiar with the story of God's salvation that perhaps we can't hear it in its full impact anymore. Let me give you an example. What's the most important familiar animal in the Christmas story? One which is in just about every scene as you picture the episodes in your mind. Yeah, you have the sheep, but there's always a bunch of them and they don't really do anything. There's a more important animal. How did Joseph get Mary, great with child, down from Galilee to Bethlehem? Of course, on a donkey. What is standing next to Joseph as he knocks at the inn? A donkey. What creature is always standing with the other animals in the stable as they gaze at the newborn babe, that artistic license of a smile on their faces? There is always a donkey. And when Herod finds out that he's been duped by the Magi, how do Mary and Joseph make their flight, or perhaps more accurately, their plod to Egypt? Of course, on a donkey, who now has saddlebags full of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You can see it. It's always there, the donkey. No celebration of Christmas is complete without him. In the nativity scenes, in the Sunday school pageants, you gotta have a donkey. What a connection! That was my first reaction to this text. Jesus entering David's city, Jerusalem, on a donkey to complete his mission. Jesus entering David's city, Bethlehem, on a donkey to begin his mission. Perfect. What great bookends, a donkey at either end of the mission of Jesus. So I went to the text, to Matthew 1, then to Luke 2, flipping the pages, searching the concordance. But you know what? There ain't no donkey. I checked again. There's got to be one somewhere in there, but there's not. And after a while, I felt a little bit like Balaam must have felt when his donkey told him, "Open your eyes." There is no donkey. We've invented him to fit what we know must have happened. Well, it is no doubt an obvious and oft-repeated theme from Christian pulpits this time of year, but it's no less true for that. Much of the Christian we American Christians celebrate is simply made up. The donkey is only the tip of the iceberg. We've been taught to ponder what Joseph must have thought when he was told that he would be the father of the Son of God, although Matthew doesn't bother to tell us what those thoughts were. Luke was content to tell us that Mary pondered all these things in her heart, but doesn't spell out exactly what she felt. But 21st century devotional writers can read her mind with clarity after 2,000 years. Even the angel's announcement to the shepherds has been co-opted. Instead of glory in highest heaven to God and on earth peace for people whom he favors, the theme we're going to hear again and again, especially this year, is simply peace on earth. It's Christmas, so let's all get along is pretty much what this has become. That's what people sitting in our pews and perhaps even sometimes we ourselves hope to get out of Christmas. Peace becomes something other than what God gives to his people. Instead, peace becomes an imperative. Make peace. It's time for peace on earth. That's what God wants. And the kingdom of God is substituted for a kingdom that we ourselves put together by being nice to one another. The old folk song from the 60s comes chiming in, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me." I think they even sang that in some churches. But is that all we get in Jesus Christ? A reminder to start over, a reminder to be nice to everybody? You see, the danger that we face in our self-created celebrations of Christmas is not merely that we miss the true meaning of Christmas or some such thing like that. Rather, the danger that we face is that we misunderstand the nature of the kingdom of God. We change God's working in a specific way for a specific purpose into trying to shoehorn God to fit our goals and agendas, ultimately in a way that we would like to see things happen. The kingdom of God becomes transformed into our own personal little vision of what we think the world should be. Jesus becomes a means to our end. But then we hear about a donkey. Not a made-up one, but a real donkey. Not with a smile on its face, but a burden on its back. And the rind of our sentimentality and our self-created kingdoms is peeled away to reveal the fruit of what the Father has done in Jesus Christ. He has come to die for sinners. He has come to bring the kingdom of God to his people. If we learn anything from Matthew's gospel about what happens with this donkey on that Sunday outside of Jerusalem, it is that the kingdom of God happens according to a well-laid-out, well-organized plan. Jesus knows in advance that a particular man is going to have a particular donkey, and he knows what the response to the disciples is going to be, but he says, "Invoke the name of the Lord, and he will let him go for you." As Matthew reminds us, this is a plan that had its origins centuries before, that a king humble and riding on a donkey would be a sign that the consummation of the kingdom is about to happen. Even most of the crowd, Matthew tells us, picked up at least partly that something was going on here, that the Son of David was finally coming for his throne. There is nothing left to chance here. There is nothing left to the scheming of human rulers and authorities. God himself brings the kingdom to his people. And so on a donkey, the the Son of David enters David's city. The man Jesus enters to be acknowledged as king, to be raised up and recognized by all people as Son of God. Not on a throne, but on a cross. He is Israel's king, the final, ultimate king. The kingdom is happening. God is reigning. And whether those crowds really understood what Jesus was doing or not, their hymns of praise sung to a man who is humble and riding on a donkey remind us that the reign of God is not accomplished in might and glory. It is accomplished instead in sacrifice, in humility, in the Son of God pouring himself out and becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This smacks us into a different perspective. Not one of our own creation, but one revealed to us in a person. In this post-9/11, post-Jerusalem mall bombing, post-missile strikes in Gaza City world in which we live, we might very well wonder if there is a plan, if there really is a kingdom of God that has anything to do with this world, much less our own lives. We might lose hope, thinking that our society is simply doomed to collapse in on itself and take us dragging down with it. But by causing a certain man to ride a certain donkey in a certain place and on a certain day, we are reminded that God's working in history is anything but random chance. We are not left to struggle for ourselves, creating a peace on earth. Rather, we are brought into the kingdom of God, which has a goal, the fulfillment of all things in Jesus Christ himself. So now those hymns of praise that the crowd sang along the road with only a dim understanding of the kingdom now become our songs. We to whom it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Sound familiar? This we sing as our King comes to us, humble and in bread and wine. As he comes to us, humble, in words read from a book and spoken from a pulpit. Here we become connected to the kingdom, so that our fate is tied finally in the end, not to the kingdoms of the world, but to a king who rose after dying on a cross, so that his death and resurrection becomes our death and resurrection. Cows in a kitchen, pigs in a parlor, a donkey at Christmas, all nonsense. A king on a donkey, going to a cross, bringing us the kingdom, exactly what we need today. Amen.